Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello and welcome to Spark Radio. As you heard, we are committed to providing you with new strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge. I am your host, Ms. Melanie. And for those of us in the Midwest United States who just were blanketed with a lot of snow, we had over a foot, which is unusual for us, at one time. We hope that you're staying warm. And for those listeners around the world who are enjoying summer, we hope that you are staying cool. Thank you again for being with us. We do appreciate our listeners, as always. Tonight's topic, by popular request, is more on your magnificent memory, particularly mnemonic strategies, how to make the most of your memory. And one of the strategies is connected to an Alex story. I like to share stories about my six-year-old. And before I do that, I do want to thank you for bearing with the technical issues that we had last week. And those of you who listened to the archives got to hear the beginning several times. And repetition is great for memory. Focused repetition is best so that it's conscious and you are making an effort to input information. So back to the Alex story of being in the moment. So often we challenge our memories with trying to remember way too much at one time because we're focusing on way too many different things and our attention is so divided. And being a parent, as some of you who are parents know, there are a lot of demands on our attention. And one of those demands is our children who want us, need us, enjoy us being involved in their lives. And the other night, Alex was working on his responsibility sheet. Well, he didn't want to do his responsibility sheet, which is what they call homework in first grade. And his homework involved reading some phrases and then dividing the phonemic parts of a list of words. Well, to make the reading of the phrases fun, there were probably, maybe 30 phrases. I said, let's make up a game. So he went into his room so his father could finish watching the TV show that he was interested in, and we started a game. And the first phrase was cut the potato in half. And so I added to that and put it in the pan to cook. And then there were other phrases about losing half of the pork and needing a robber. And so we just kept coming back to being hungry and those potatoes and cooking the potatoes. Sharing a sad message was one, and our sad message was, the potatoes are burnt. We were laughing so hard as we went through that list of him just practicing reading phrases. And we finished, and he said, oh, Mom, can we do that again? And I said, well, we can do it with your next responsibility sheet. He said, oh, no, I don't think I can wait that long. And so we played the game again. He practiced reading his list a second time. And by focusing on being in the moment with him and rather than on the other things that were pulling at my attention, it allowed us to create a fun memory for both of us. And so how often do you find yourself multitasking or being in one place in your body and another place in your mind? David Ellis wrote Becoming a Master Student. It was a text that we used in the Upper Bound program with high school students. And he had principles. And one of them was be here now, which means be where you are when you're there. And do what you're doing when you're doing it. Because so often we miss the moment, we miss now, and now is really all we have. That's our gift, the present. So when we allow ourselves to be now, here, rather than the past or the future, and it also then allows us to make conscious choices about committing things to memory because we are less distracted. And a topic for another show is the research on the difference in productivity between multitasking versus chunking your time. And those of us, and I'm one of them who multitasks and feels like we accomplish a lot. And the reality is if we looked at chunking our tasks and time, we would discover we would have higher productivity. So we will revisit that in a future show. So if you have some questions about memory, your magnificent memory, or keeping it, regaining it, please give us a call at 347-215-8390. I'll be happy to answer your questions if I can, or steer you to some other resources that may work for you as well. So let's start with those strategies so we make sure that we cover a number of them. And I was gifted with a wonderful science teacher in elementary school by the name of Jeanette Ruprecht. And Jeanette built on the interest I already had in science that began when I got a microscope for Christmas when I was in first or second grade. My mother doesn't remember even giving it to me, but boy, did that spark my interest in science, that and Star Trek. And so Jeanette built on that interest because in middle school, in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, we shared science, math, and English. We rotated for those courses. So I had Mrs. Ruprecht for 3 years for science. And she was an amazing woman who had such a passion for what she did, and she helped us be excited because we had hands-on experiences. And she taught us how to remember things. It wasn't just, here, remember, learn this. It was, here are some strategies. And I just thought all the teachers taught that to students, and I've worked over the years with students and with adults. I've learned that, no, not everyone understands or has ever been taught these strategies. Some people call them tricks. In essence, it's working with the way your brain naturally processes information. And so let's spend some time sharing some of Mrs. Ruprecht's memory strategies and some additional strategies that I've learned over the years in my education, because very often people who are successful students have either been taught or discovered these strategies for how to remember. So let's get started. If you think back to your elementary school, middle school, high school days, you probably learned some of these mnemonic devices or strategies, but if you didn't learn about what they were or how they worked, you may have just dismissed them as silly or elementary. And as we get older, sometimes we put aside things that we think are childish, and there's really no reason because they're excellent strategies. So first of all, there are different types of memory, and what often we're challenged with is the semantic part of our memory. And that's the toughest to recall, and it's the most highly malleable, changeable. It's dates and facts and details, and it's challenging because our brain, it's isolated information, and our brain reacts to it like, so what? It doesn't connect to anything that we know. And now if it had survival value, like we could eat it, or it might eat us, or we could have sex with it or procreate with it, that's survival of the species, any of those things would get the brain's attention and focus. But so much of what we have to remember with phone numbers and passwords and codes, and that doesn't make any sense. And if you think 100 years ago, when people went home, they didn't have to remember all the different numbers and addresses and directional terms. It was just a matter of how long or when the sun was over the barn or, you know. And so now, though, it's all these numbers and facts. And the brain needs meaning. So we need to create artificial meaning around information that has no inherent reason for the brain to remember or to identify it as important. It's also the easiest to test this kind of semantic fact memory. And so often that's what we're tested on. Not necessarily the best indicator of what we really know and comprehend. So let's take a look at how we can help semantic memory. And the first is to use the other kind of explicit memory, the kind we can talk about, First is semantic, the second is episodic. Episodic memory is richer in detail. So if I were to ask you to tell me the plot of a favorite movie or a movie that you've seen recently, could you do that? The characters, the names, the key plot line? Most people would probably say yes, because they were interested in it. They were emotionally connected to it in some way. And episodic memory is richer in detail. We think about who was there, where it was. We have a whole context that's very rich. And that helps us to reconstruct that memory. And so if we take things that we need to remember that are isolated facts and we make an episode around them, much, much easier to remember. We can also take one of the types of implicit memory, which is procedural, and that's body memory. Because, as Eric Jensen says, when you know it in your body, you know it. And that would help as well. So if you have to, someone asked you for a phone number an acquaintance that is mutual for both of you. Sometimes you have to say just a minute, and in the air you punch that number with your fingers before you can tell them, because it's in your body. And so we can use that body memory to help us remember other isolated facts and details. So let's go through some strategies that put meaning or connectedness to information that we need to remember. First of all, we need to consciously decide to encode or store that memory. I would venture to guess that a number of my listeners are saying, oh, I just have a terrible memory. I can't remember things. My memory is so awful. Strike that. Your brain wants to have harmony with what you believe and what your reality is. So if there's any kind of cognitive dissonance or disconnect between the two, your brain will find a way to reconcile that dissonance and make harmony happen. So the first thing is to repeat after me, I have a magnificent memory. Write that down on something. So the next time that you are hearing yourself say, oh, my memory's awful, strike that, replace it with, I have a magnificent memory. And give yourself permission to enjoy the memory that you have. Now, some of us have some challenges in getting things out again. So that's what tonight is about. So first of all, the conscious decision to push the save key in your memory. And the save key is, SAVE is an acronym that Marcus Conyers uses in his brain smart work. So if you take your index finger and push an imaginary save key, what you're doing is seeing it in your imagination. That's your S. A, you're associating it with something you already know. B, you're making it vivid, detailed. And E, you're including some experience or action. And so SAVE is an acronym. That's an example of a memory strategy, SAVE. When you take the first letter of something that you need to remember that's a series of items or ideas, and you form a word. C, associate, vividly, experience. That's the SAVE key. That's an example of an acronym. Things like NASA, SCUBA, Roy G. Biv, NASA's National Aeronautics, and National Aviation, they changed that in several times, in Space Administration in the United States. National Aeronautics and Space Administration, I think. SCUBA is self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. SCUBA is just much faster. And Roy G. Biv is the color order of the visible light spectrum, or the colors in order in the rainbow. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Probably learned that in elementary school, and remembering the order is easier if you made it a person's name. Even more interesting is if you gave Roy G. Biv an appearance and a personality. And I think about the time I learned about Roy G. Biv, for those of you who have seen episodes of Family Affair with Sissy Buffy and Jody and Mr. French, the butler. Well, Roy G. Biv looked like Mr. French, large British man, dark hair, beard, and very kind eyes. So whenever I need to know those colors, Roy G. Biv is right there. So that's using to see it in your mind, associate it with something that you already know, make it vivid because I can describe it in detail, and experience it because he's handing me a drawing of a rainbow. That's an example of pushing the save key. So you can use an acronym if you have to remember things in sequence. It helps keep things in order. Related to acronyms are acrostics. Acrostics are where you can take the first letter of items you need to remember and form a sentence. Now, I realize that poor Pluto got booted out as a planet. Before it did, however, I learned my very easy method, just shows us nine planets. That was from Mrs. Ruprecht. And that's the order of the planets from the sun to the edge of our solar system. You probably learned something else about my very engaging mother. Something just served us nine pizzas, I think. But whatever it was, did it work? The Yoo-Hoo musicians, I forgot to say, used acrostics and acronyms. If you're learning the letters that go with the lines and the spaces on the clef, on the G treble clef, F-A-C-E, space, that's the order of the spaces. And every good boy does fine is the order of the lines. So there's an example of another use, and you can think of, I'm sure, many more. Now, if you think this sounds like a lot of work and it's going to take way too much time, what you may discover is you're right, if you believe that. It gets easy with practice, like anything that you do. And find kids. Kids are great at being creative. It's a chance for you to practice your creative muscle as well, to play with these things. And we have gotten to where we think we have to remember so much we don't write things down. Or we rely on putting them in the BlackBerry, the Palm Pilot, and then something happens and we lose it. So do you practice doing mental math, mental memory? And do you use sticky notes? Or how do you remember? I know some adults who still write things on their hand to remember. There are ways that you can remember without writing them down. And give yourself permission to write them down as well, to use cue cards. Now, some people refer to them as cheat sheets. When I was doing some training in credit union, they were talking about using cheat sheets, and I said, do you think there might be a little conflict with folks when you emphasize honesty and integrity in handling people's money, and then you say, oh, by the way, use a cheat sheet? And they sort of chuckle and say, we never thought of that. Okay, so then call it a cue card and encourage them to use a cue card. You see, our language is very powerful. So if you're using language that's causing problems for you, then take a moment and see what else you could say that might be more helpful. Instead of focusing on what's not working or what you don't want, focus on what you need to remember. When we let our cat out, Mika is our cat, and Alex is probably about to. But she goes in and out, and it was winter like now, and she was out, and my husband went to bed before I did and said, honey, don't forget to let the cat in. I said, okay. A couple hours later, I finished my project and went to bed, and 3 o'clock in the morning, boom, I sat straight up in bed and went, the cat. And at that point, I think it was probably about 0 degrees Fahrenheit, and yeah, poor cat was meow, 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 meow at me. So we discussed in the future saying, remember to let the cat in. See, our brain has challenges processing negatives and negations. So if I said to you right this minute, under no circumstances, even for a split second, should you see in your imagination or your mind's eye a pink elephant, no pink ears, no pink trunk, and absolutely no pink tail. Did you see a pink elephant? Now, sometimes people will say no, and if I prod a little, they'll say, well, maybe it's just a quick flash, but when you said do not think of a pink elephant, I immediately thought of purple. And some people are more skilled, but for most of us, the majority of us are visual, and we see things in our imagination. And if we think about what we want, it's going to be better. How often do we tell kids, no, don't. Don't spill the red juice. And within 2 minutes, what happens? Red juice spills. Why? Because the image we put in the child's mind was of them spilling the juice. Now, it's not usually that they consciously spill the juice. It's their brain says, oh, spill the juice. And then you say, weren't you listening to me? And the brain's saying, yes, I was. So what do you want the child to do? And the answer, be careful. Keep the juice away from the edge of the table. My husband and I raised Alex through that what most people call the terrible twos without a lot of no's. As a matter of fact, we consciously avoided using the word no. And I can hear some of the parents now saying, oh, yeah, right. And here, again, use the power of the way your mind naturally works. So if we did not want Alex to run, we would say, please walk. If we did not want him to touch something, we would say, only look. Or get a grown-up first to help you touch. Or et cetera. And we still, now that he's six, catch ourselves going, Alex, stop. Or don't do that. Well, if we don't want him to do that, what do we want him to do? And so it helps to have two of us to help with that reframing or restructuring what we're saying. So know that about your brain. Put in what you do want. Instead of I'm going to forget my grocery list, I'm going to remember those four things. It makes a huge difference. All right. So back to our mnemonics. So we have acronyms. We've got push the save key to make conscious encoding. We have acrostics. We also have chunking. Numbers, phone numbers, in the United States, Social Security numbers are grouped. Generally, don't do well with over about 5 to 7 items at a time. So if you can chunk things into groups of 3, 4, or 5, much easier to remember than 12, 15 things. So chunk or group what you need to remember or do. And can you think of any examples where you chunk pieces of information? Sometimes we chunk up by the time of day that it needs to be done. That's strategy number 3. Let's look at number 4, visual images. We already talked a little bit about that. Most of our brains use pictures and images. So make a mental movie. Have all the special effects. Remember, save. You want to make it vivid and you want to experience it. So put yourself in the movie. And the more senses you use, the stronger the encoding. Think about someone that you would really enjoy spending some time with, may or may not happen. Could be Brad Pitt, could be John F. Kennedy, could be Mother Teresa, someone you would enjoy talking to, and then make a movie of going grocery shopping with them, for example, and having the discussion as you're walking through and picking up the items that you need. And rehearse it as you make your list. And then when you're in the store, play the movie. Now, some tips about making this even better, exaggerate. So make something very large, like you and Mother Teresa are very large, or you and Julia Roberts are very large and everybody else is very small, or the food is huge that you're picking up, so you almost have to have a separate cart for the items. Make things colorful, have action involved, and relate it to sex. Because in most cultures, it's taboo to talk a lot about sex in public, so we have an emotional reaction. So if you can make it emotional, positive too, laughing, fun, you're using a part of the brain called the amygdala. And the amygdala processes emotion. It's mature at birth, which is why sometimes we have reactions to things that we don't understand, that we're scared of some things. And it could be because we had an experience when we were very young, before we had language to moderate or mediate or explain the experience. So when you're trying to remember something, add emotion to it, makes it easier to remember because you're using the power of the amygdala in memory. Okay, take a deep breath. We have 5 minutes remaining. So if you have any questions, 347-215-8390. There are a number of other strategies, but one I want to make sure we get to is the smart peg system, which is also one of Marcus Tanier's. And it's when you connect body parts. So it's using that body memory. There are 10 foods that are found in superfoods. Some are in Superfoods RX. Some are from research Marcus had done. But do the actions with me, and let's see what we can do in about 3 minutes. Please smear your forehead with blueberries. What's on your forehead? Please say it out loud. Blueberries. Now, Tiger Woods, when he makes a good shot, fold your thumb, make a fist, put your hand above your head, and then pull it down towards you and say yes. That's a great anchor for positives. So what's on your forehead? Blueberries. Yes. Now, put your fingers on your shoulders and place there some nuts. Now, I like walnuts because they look like little brains. So what's on your shoulders? Nuts. Yes. If you're making giant nuts, they're easy to remember. Now, take your palm on your chest and tap your chest like a fish flopping upside down and say, salmon. What's on your chest? Salmon. Yes. Now, go down to your navel and put your hands around this imaginary large head of broccoli growing out of your navel. What's growing out of your navel? Broccoli. Yes. Next, on each hip, please place a banana. And you want to move those bananas, so move your hips. If you're sitting or standing, what's on your hips? Bananas. Yes. Next, on your backside, please slap your backside and say, frozen yogurt. Yes. Now, it doesn't have to be frozen, but many of us like ice cream, so you can replace the frozen ice cream with frozen yogurt. So what's on your backside? Frozen yogurt. Yes. Next, on your thighs, smear olive oil. Yeah, for those of you who listened to me earlier about relating it to sex, come back. What's on your thighs? Olive oil. Yes. Next, take your hands, and I want to slap your kneecaps and say brown bread. What's on your kneecaps? Brown bread. Yes. Whole grain is best. Now, on your shins, you can smear it if you like it cooked. I'm going to pat it because I like my spinach raw. Spinach is on your shins, both start with an S. Spinach, yes. And finally, please wiggle your toes and imagine that you are smushing tomatoes. Tomatoes, yes. And if you're interested in learning more about this, there is a link on Marcus's website that talks about why he includes these foods on the list. But when we get off the air, when you're finished listening to me, go through those 10 foods again, because it took less than 2 minutes to learn those 10 foods. What were they? Touch the body part as we go through the list. What's on your forehead? Blueberry. Shoulders? Nuts. Chest? Salmon. If you don't like salmon, another good fish for omega-3. Growing out of your navel is broccoli. On each hip, you'll find bananas. What's on your backside? Frozen yogurt. On your thighs, you have olive oil. On your kneecaps, brown bread. On your shins, spinach. And between your toes, tomatoes. Very good. So we've covered a number of memory strategies tonight. We now have under a minute left. I thank you so much for joining us at Spark Radio. And real quickly, you can use rhyming, you can use stories, you can use music. All of those will help in memory. As we're using colors, cue cards, exercise, water, nutrition, and sleep all impact your memory. So until next time, if you have other questions or would like other resources on memory, there's a bibliography at www.brainbonanza.com. That's BRAINBONANZA.com. And may you stay safe until next we meet again. And may you choose to create great days as you continue to make positive difference in the lives you touch. And finally, in our remaining few seconds together, I challenge you to find one strategy that you've heard today when you're listening and try it. See if it makes a difference. P.S. If you review this recording in 24 hours, it will improve your recall and your ability to remember by about 80% just by checking in 24 hours. And as John DeMartini says, what we think about and think about, we bring about. So thank you for sharing Spark Radio with us.
Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.